This is the EWN Radio Network.
She's smart. She's successful. She's an executive. She's an entrepreneur. And she's the chief executive of her story. Who is she? She's you. Welcome to the Power Lunch on EWN Radio Network. Your Power Lunch Hour, keeping you informed of women in the headlines and making their own news. And now here's your host, Mona Lisa Como.
Welcome to the Power Lunch, hosted by Interpares Capital, your one stop for all your business and commercial finance needs. I'm your host, Mona Lisa Como, bringing you a full week of women who made the headlines. Happy first week of February. It's hard to believe that January is already gone. And unfortunately, the first week of February also brings to us Groundhog's Day. So as many of you out in the Northeast, I'm sure, do know, there is another six more weeks of winter. And as you can tell by my voice, I haven't been so fortunate to sidestep a lot of the colds that have going around. Well, we have a full hour of women who made headlines this past week, along with visiting more in depth some of the hottest topics affecting women. Before we get started, I wanted to give a shout out to a cause that was just brought to my attention in the last week. And if you have not heard of it, I would definitely encourage you to go check them out. It's called Plaid for Women is the website, Plaid for Women. And it's a wonderful website, and it's actually a media outlet where their whole goal is to help women achieve goals and get connected and be heard. So if you are into the blogging and you'd like to connect with more women, definitely check out the website, plaidforwomen.com. What I'm particularly interested in, and I met one of the Plaid for Women bloggers this past week, Elizabeth Lyons, who we will have in the show in the next upcoming weeks, was a campaign that they started, which I'm fairly supportive of, and I've already started to tweet about it. It's called hashtag No Mean Girls. And this is a great cause for many reasons, and I've talked about this in past radio shows, those that I've been on and those that I've been interviewed on, and that's women beating up on other women. It was so common for me growing up on Wall Street, where if two women got into a room and there were 10 other men, if the women started to disagree with each other, you know, men would say it was a cat fight, or they would start to make comments on, oh, the women can't get along. Well, the worst part about that was when women actually kind of stepped up to that. And again, growing up on Wall Street, there weren't a lot of women mentors that I could lean on that weren't catty or that weren't the ones that were going to bring you down. And fortunately, I think that there's enough women out there that are making it cool to support other women. And those are the women that I love to have on my show. And, you know, Sheryl Sandberg really put that fanfare to place in the general marketplace with her lean-in movement. So we're grateful to her for that. But there's a lot of women, and we'll cover one today in our show, Carly Fiorino, who probably doesn't get enough credit for a lot of the work that she has done to be a groundbreaker before it was even cool to be a woman and to take on folks. And I'm guilty of it as well. Growing up in the Bay Area and not working for Hewlett Packard, but hearing people talk about Carly Fiorino in negative words and describing her horribly and never once challenging the thought that she might just be different. And so we're going to cover Carly Fiorino, but going back to, you know, you see the whole theme that we have on today's show, we're going to start off with the No Mean Girls campaign. And again, if you could go to the Plaid for Women website, hashtag it out on your social media, please share it. I'll give you a little bit of background. If you go to the website, you know, the No Mean Girls campaign is it's time to stop the psychological violence that we women, not other men, that we women inflict on each other via being mean girls and use superpowers for good. I love that. So what does that mean? Well, mean girls gossip about each other. They bring each other down. Plaid Women and No Mean Girls campaign means we don't listen to gossip and we don't participate in destructive rumors. Mean girls criticize based on looks. I hate that. Plaid for Women, as well as women who support the No Mean Girls campaign, find out the talent that truly makes these women, understands their character and their motivation inside. Mean girls exclude other women, a big one for me. Plaid Women find ways to include other women in their business and personal lives. A little on that. I'm going to digress quite a bit here. There was this event that I went to about a year ago. And I was really excited because I was into the entrepreneurial circle, and I thought, oh, maybe entrepreneurial women will be much more inviting than women in the corporate sector. And maybe it's just because it's the corporate sector. And I remember walking into a event that was put on by the Chamber of Commerce specifically for the women. And I'm sure there are many women out there that know this feeling. You walk into a room, and other women, that first off, there's already cliques formed, right? Everybody's kind of in their little corners, and all these women are, you can tell who are the it girls because they're the ones that are being talked to the whole time. And sorry about that music, but I wanted to kind of get into the mood here. But you kind of get that you're not being welcome. And somehow you've got to break yourself into the pack of wolves that are sitting there and challenging whether or not you even belong. And one of the most disturbing things that happened to me at this event is I said, you know what, I'm not going to allow this to affect me. I'm going to just walk right up to this group of women and start talking. I kid you not, this woman, and I apologize again for my cold, literally inserted herself between me and the group as I was trying to introduce myself and kind of blocked me out and then turned her back on me. And I remember it was so close that she literally, when I looked up, her hair was in my face. And I said to myself, for the split second, what am I going to do, right? Am I just going to walk away from this and be like, okay, you're not welcome here? And again, this was a Chamber of Commerce event for women. Or am I going to address the situation? And I said, you know, this woman has probably done this to other women. I need to say something. So I literally tapped her on the shoulder and I said, do you mind? And she was embarrassed, and she just kind of looked at me like, excuse me. I said, I was standing right here. You just cut me off. And she was caught off guard. But it's that kind of, you know, women excluding other women. We, you know, and again, there's not every woman's out there, but we have got to stop doing this to other women. And we have to see that when men walk into a room, and this is something that I've noticed even at a young age with my kids, my son can go to a playground and see other boys and start playing. No issues, especially my teenage son. My teenage daughter could walk into a room with other girls and they all instantaneously start turning around and she doesn't know if she's welcome. So this exclusion that we do to each other, we have to commit to ourselves with the No Mean Girls campaign that we are against excluding other women and, in fact, welcoming other women to the group. The other thing is mean girls enjoy when other women fail. I hate this, I hate this, I hate this. I hate when women are out there trying really hard to, whether it was, whether it was Sheryl Sandberg coming out with the campaign, and the first people to criticize her were women saying, oh, she was privileged because she went to Harvard. And then you had Martha Stewart, you know, stepping on Gwyneth Paltrow when she tried to come out with her business. You know, that's not it. The Hollywood likes to make a big deal about it, and people think it's always funny to see women in catfights. We should never enjoy when other women fail. In fact, we should try to pick each other up and make sure that that doesn't happen. And last but not least, mean girls fear other women's successes. Well, Plaid for Women and the No Mean Girls campaign, they work to help each other women succeed even if they surpass them. Now, what's going to be a surprise is I didn't even talk to the Plaid for Women folks and women about promoting this on the radio show because I was so moved by it. I didn't want to have – I wanted to be authentic in coming to you as our listeners and saying, check it out. Hashtag No Mean Girls. Definitely send it out there on your Twitter, on your Facebook, on your LinkedIn, and let it be uncool to be a mean girl. And I love it, and I hope that it's already started to get some traction for the small group on my personal side that I've reached out to. And what I've also found very interesting is the amount of stories that have come forth about women being bullied by other mean girls. It's almost embarrassing to know that there are so many more stories out there, but we owe it to the next generation of women, our daughters, our nieces, our sisters, and our granddaughters, and the next generation of women to lay a foundation where it's no longer cool to be a mean girl. And so that's my shout out for the No Mean Girls campaign. Check out plaidforwomen.com. I think they'd appreciate it. And if you're a blogger, if you're into definitely trying to put your name out there, definitely sign up with them. And you'll see me on there because I just signed up in this past week. Well, before we move on to women in the stories, the stories that we have for this week, we have a full hour again of women who made the headlines. We'd love to hear from you, and hopefully you're listening to us via our mobile app. If not, please download our mobile app for free. All of our apps are for free. We don't believe in charging, obviously. And you can find it on the Apple Store, Google Play, or on the Amazon Store. Just look up Power Lunch Radio, and you'll actually find it. You can also find our podcast on the iTunes Store and look us up under podcast. Just do search Power Lunch. Lastly, please always feel free to follow us or contact us on our social media, Facebook, Twitter, or Google Plus. You can find out all our social media information on www.ewnradionetwork.com/power-lunch. You'll also see a number of great hosts on the EWN Radio Network. I've been there now probably for about 4 months. I've really enjoyed it. There's a lot of great new hosts and great new shows that are coming out there. So definitely take a look at the other radio shows out there. So let's go ahead and get started for what we have in the week. So what was this week about? Absolutely. It's the hangover from the Super Bowl. And what woman made the headline for the Super Bowl? Well, Katy Perry. Of course, it was the biggest show, and it's the biggest media show annually, and Katy Perry rocked it. For those of you that didn't get to watch it, and I highly doubt anybody listening or anybody not listening has not watched the Super Bowl, Katy Perry did a great job. And she's a true performer. In fact, I felt like the Super Bowl show felt more like the Olympics with the type of work that she put into it. Well, she definitely, what I loved a couple of things about her. Number one, I'm not a fan of this. She was out there on the stage without being scantily clad. I love it when women don't feel that you've got to completely be naked and have nipple pasties in order for you to be a great performer. She just performed. Now, I would have been a bigger fan had she sang live, because I think she has a great voice, but she did a lot of things running around the stage. And she had a closer that I think is going to be hard for even people in the Olympics to follow. When she was on that kind of a rocket where it was kind of dragging her across the field with the epic fireworks, that was truly impressive. And so I really did like that. And I'm going to show my type of music with this. I went crazy when I saw Missy Elliott. Haven't seen her in too long. And was just commenting to my husband and my siblings how I really miss having really good female rappers. And I like rap, but not hardcore rap. But Missy Elliott was from a generation where you had like the Salt and Peppers. And so I was just commenting amazingly a couple of weeks ago how it's really kind of dwindled down in that genre of music, that women have kind of left that stage. You have Iggy Azalea, who is amazing to me because she's an Australian blonde girl who can rap like no one's business. But she's from Australia, and then you used to have the likes of, again, Missy, but even Nicki Minaj, who I think did a little bit of that, but she's kind of moved more towards your pop. So it was good to see that Missy's gone up. And a couple of things about how great the stage of Super Bowl is for your career if you're in, you know, trying to bring yourself back. The Super Bowl alone, you know, had enough issues with Deflategate, so horrible bad press. But the Missy Elliott, her numbers went off the charts. So it's not even been a week since the Super Bowl, and her streaming numbers on Spotify alone have increased a total of, brace yourself for this number, 676%. Her songs individually, and I mean, if you didn't jump out of your seat, there's even some videos on Facebook I've seen that are just completely hilarious on this, about what happened to most people when they listened to Missy Elliott on the stage. Lose Control saw a streaming boost of 1,396%. Get Your Freak On, just thinking about that in my head gets my body moving, saw a 922%. And Work It. You can probably hear it already in your head. Work It saw an 896% boost. So Missy Elliott most likely will be coming back. It was a great way for her to get back into the stage. She looked great as well. Rumor has it she lost about 70 pounds doing CrossFit. I know this only because my sister kept grilling me, who's a power trainer and a CrossFit trainer as well. She, the entire time, kept reminding me that Missy Elliott dropped 70 pounds, which is amazing because she looks phenomenal. So absolutely wonderful to see Missy Elliott on there on the stage. A couple of other things that were a little bit too sad that's on the entertainment front. The American Sniper movie, true story of Chris Kyle. The woman headliner there is his wife and widow, Taya Kelly. And she is a strong woman to have to listen to all of the critics trash her husband because of his true story. And I read the book. I haven't watched the movie. My husband and I want to go watch it here fairly soon. It's from what I gather, for everybody that's watched it, it's earth-shattering. It's something you definitely want to watch if you can stomach it. That's one thing I've also heard, because it's definitely gritty. Well, the box office hits are about $322 million in the 6 weeks that it's been number one. So congratulations to Taya. And having also, I've seen her in a number of interviews, I couldn't imagine what this woman is going through. You put your husband and his story out there on stage. And in fairness, this movie was coming out when her husband was alive. And so he helped be a part of the movie and its creation in the beginning. And so it was tragic that they had to actually add, you know, the new ending with Clint Eastwood and his team about his death. So Taya Kyle has had to hear the likes of Moore and Michael Moore, the movie producer, and Seth Rogen, the comedian, and more even importantly, Jesse Ventura, who's also sued her family and won her estate, Chris Kyle's estate. He won a $1.6 million defamation suit. But this woman and her children, and I call her out because she's a woman headliner this week by the fact that her husband's story is taking on center stage, and she's the face of that. And she's taking it in stride. And again, I don't know how I could deal with somebody trashing my husband, knowing that he's dead and having people sue me. But congratulations to her and the story of her husband, 6 weeks in a row. The other sad part is this past week in Texas, the trial for her husband's killer begins with jury selection, and over 800 initial jurors have been screened. So that's a lot going on that front. We pray for her, we wish her luck, and we thank her and her sacrifices, Taya Kyle, for having her husband serve so wonderfully for the United States, for protecting our freedom, and then losing his life tragically when he was just trying to help another soldier. And another woman headliner this past week, and I just looked up the latest news, and I'm sure you're devastated as much as I am. I was a huge Whitney Houston fan and continue to be. Her voice is amazing. Very sad to hear what's happened to her daughter. We hope and pray that Bobby Christina makes through it. And at the end of the day, we hope that this also sheds light on death and how especially children of powerhouses who have to live out their mourning publicly, how they can recover from that. And hopefully, again, we can hear some good news about her. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like that's possible because of the fact that she's been in a coma for so very long, but we'll see. We'll still have lots of hopes and prayers for her. So that was women who were trending in the entertainment industry. When we get back, we'll continue on with more women who made the headlines, and we'll also talk about some of the juiciest and most controversial topics. We'll delve into that a little bit later with what Silicon Valley thinks of women, to Carly Fiorina's interviews on being called a token bimbo. More when we return.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@eWomenNetwork.com. That's managingdirector@eWomenNetwork.com. And let's start the conversation.
Did you know banks decline more commercial loans than they approve? In fact, national banks approve less than 20% of all business loans submitted. And that doesn't include the loans that don't even qualify. But at InterParis Capital, we are here to overcome those odds. We are a nationally recognized commercial brokerage firm with access to thousands of public and private lending institutions. That means we have more options to finance you than your bank does, whether you are a startup or in need of debt refinancing or growth capital. We can help. We do the heavy lifting so you can focus on running your business. Contact us today for a free consultation with one of our business advisors at 855-365-1930. At InterParis Capital, we are your business partner in finance.
You're connected to the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to the Power Lunch on EWN Radio Network, your Power Lunch Hour keeping you informed of women in the headlines and making their own news. And now here's your host, Mona Lisa Como.
Welcome back to the Power Lunch, sponsored by InterParis Capital. When you need capital to finance your startup or your commercial real estate needs, contact one of their advisors at 855-365-1530 for more information. I'm your host, Mona Lisa Como. We have more women headliners up on the world front. And one of the hottest topics on the world front that happened this week was ISIS, obviously, and measles. So very unfortunate, a little bit dark news, but women are in those news as well. So in regards to ISIS, one of the women that unfortunately was hanged this past week was a Jordanian prisoner she was an ISIS terrorist that had been held by the Jordanian government. And for this tragic event that happened with ISIS burning one of the Jordanian prisoners that they had, Jordan responded with an unbelievable show of force and support for their people, especially for moderate Muslims, and they attacked this week. So we first and foremost pray for the family and for all of the victims that have been brutally murdered by ISIS, but especially this Jordanian prisoner who was burned alive. I unfortunately watched it, and honestly, all I could think of is my heart goes out for his wife and his mother and the people who have to know that this is somebody that they love. So first, we hope and pray for the women of Islam to take back their culture. You've heard me say this in the past. You can only change radicalism from the inside. It's not going to be influenced from the outside. So the Jordanian government and their people, the Queen of Jordan as well, taking a lead on that, and along with the women of Islam, we hope and give them our thoughts and our prayers as they try to take back their culture and their children for this radical, brutal killing of what's going on all around the world. Next thing that was definitely a hot topic and not so much great news was Jenny McCarthy is getting a lot of backlash, obviously, because of the measles outbreak. Now, she didn't specifically cause it, but she did start a movement quite a bit and gave a lot of media attention to an article that has since been taken down by the American Medical Association and disproved by the medical association and scientists across the world regarding vaccinations being bad for you. And so her response to this years ago, she has an autistic son, is that she truly believes that vaccinations are the reason and the culprit for the increase in autism across the United States. Well, that obviously was several years ago, or at least, a few years ago, but that she took center stage, and she's been getting beat up in the media, even though she didn't say anything about the measles. But because she came out against it, she's being blamed for all of the anti-vaccination discussions out there, and for the fact that a number of people have increased in terms of measles. And so let me give you the breakdown on it, especially for many of us out there that are moms. More than 100 people so far in 15 states have been diagnosed with measles, and that's in the month of January alone. And that's 92% of the cases are somewhat related, and that's a very high number, are related to the outbreak that began before Christmas at Disneyland in California. Well, here's the other thing that you should know about why this is such a big deal. Well, measles was declared and eradicated in the U.S. in 2000. That was 15 years ago. But sporadic outbreaks have been linked to travelers from other countries, which is understandable because in other countries, vaccinations are not demanded and required to go to school and are not available at to the extent that it is here in the Western culture. Well, the number of reported confirmed cases in states and the District of Columbia this year, based on state media reports as of February 5th, is fairly high. And so you've got 99 cases alone that are in the state of California. And so I bring that to light. Dr. Margaret Chan has her hands full trying to help control. She's the director and the top head for the World Health Organization. And then the Health and Human Services Secretary, also a woman, her name is Sylvia Burwell, and I keep thinking it's Sibelius, but it's Sylvia Burwell. Both of them have their hands full as they're trying to gather hold of measles. And the biggest problem I think that the HHS secretary has is this is all preventable. All you need is the vaccine. Unfortunately, for children less than a year old, they can't get the vaccine until they're a year. So it's more deadly for them until they're vaccinated. And if you're vaccinated, you don't have to worry about it. But cases are spreading, and you're going to continue to hear that in the news. You know, it seems like we hear a lot more about health these days than we do about other issues, whether it was the Ebola scare, and then a year before that it was, whether it was a swine flu or the other types of flu. It seems like every year there's a focus on one of the epidemics or pandemics that's going across the U.S. The other thing in the entertainment news and the business news that we wanted to cover was you've heard us talk about her, poor thing. I mean, she literally just, she's had a rough year. Sony Pictures co-chairman Amy Pascal actually stepped down yesterday in the wake of the hacking scandal. And we got this from the American Business Journal. You can also get it from the Wall Street Journal. But the article that I'm specifically referencing is the Business Journal article. So in the wake of the massive hacking fiasco that really was kicked off because of the movie The Interview, it was felt that Amy Pascal should step down. And there's controversy on whether or not she stepped down or she was pushed out. Well, in messages, Pascal allegedly asked, I'm sorry, let me go back to this. So she's stepping down from her role as chairwoman of Sony's Motion Picture Group, and that's a disappointment for women in powerful positions. And a studio head as large as and as big as Amy Pascal is not only a disappointment for women as we try to put more women in senior positions, but it's also because, she really did take the hit for this. Because there's a co-chair or a co-CEO, and he didn't take the hit as much as Amy did because her emails were leaked and his weren't. And I've said this before. I don't think it's because there was no meat on him. I actually think she was targeted, so that's my conspiracy theory. But Pascal has a new venture. She's going to focus on movies, television, and theater. And as part of a 4-year agreement, Sony, her former employer, will actually finance the company and retain all distribution rights worldwide, which I think is great. But the biggest loss, of course, is the loss of power and how Amy is no longer one of the power brokers at the table. The Business Journal also quoted Matthew Belloni. He's the Belloni. He's the executive editor for The Hollywood Reporter, and in an interview with USA Today, he stated, "The biggest loss is power for Pascal. She's no longer a buyer, and there's only a few people in Hollywood who can say yes. She's now not one of those people." So co-chair Amy Pascal stepping down in the wake of the hacking scandal. In addition, in the business news, we had a number of women who announced earnings this past week. It was made public what was HP's CEO got an increase in pay. There's a shocker, but she also did quite a bit of things that to move the company forward so that they could split up and she could now divest the company of some of the risk in terms of strategy that such a behemoth organization would take on. So she made the headlines, and then Marissa Mayer, who we always report on, also made the headlines as they're starting to come forward with what they want to do with the tremendous amount of gains that they had from the Alibaba investment. So women executives and CEOs taking on the forefront, which is not a surprise. We're going to go to commercial again. because we need to pay our bills. And when we get back, we're going to delve a little bit deeper into the two topics. One will be the Carly Fiorina interview. And it's a very powerful interview if you've not heard and read it. But if you just type in Carly Fiorina, you'll see that she's been interviewed by ABC News. She's been interviewed by Forbes. She's been interviewed by the American Business Journal. It's a very powerful interview. But it's also interesting because she's also entering in the political stage. And so there's some conversation I'd like to have in regards to Carly Fiorina using this as a platform. Obviously, she's getting her name out there so she can lay the foundation for her to get it back into politics. The second thing is, you can't miss it, the Newsweek magazine. I have not talked about Newsweek in several years until this cover hit the newsstand. It's a very controversial cover, What Silicon Valley Thinks of Women, and it's a picture of a woman, a cartoon, who's bent over and the mouse arrow lifting up her skirt. It's a very kick in the pants type of reflection on Silicon Valley and what it's like for women to raise, women entrepreneurs to raise capital on Silicon Valley. So we'll talk about that and what the impact is, and also bring to light some of the stories, success stories of women coming out and what we can do as women entrepreneurs. So once again, I will mention the hashtag #NoMeanGirls found on the plaidforwomen.com website. Please, women, do your part. Make sure that being a mean girl or promoting mean girls is not something of our generation, and we squash it here. More when we return.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who have been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called accelerated networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Did you know banks decline more commercial loans than they approve? In fact, national banks approve less than 20% of all business loans submitted. And that doesn't include the loans that don't even qualify. But at Inter Pares Capital, we are here to overcome those odds. We are a nationally recognized commercial brokerage firm with access to thousands of public and private lending institutions. That means we have more options to finance you than your bank does, whether you are a startup or in need of debt refinancing or growth capital, we can help. We do the heavy lifting so you can focus on running your business. Contact us today for a free consultation with one of our business advisors at 855-365-1930. At Inter Pares Capital, we are your business partner in finance.
You're connected to the EWN Radio Network.
She's smart. She's successful. She's an executive. She's an entrepreneur. And she's the chief executive of her story. Who is she? She's you. Welcome to the Power Lunch on EWN Radio Network, your Power Lunch Hour, keeping you informed of women in the headlines and making their own news. And now here's your host, Mona Lisa Como.
Welcome back to the Power Lunch, sponsored by Inter Pares Capital. When you need experts on how to raise capital for your business or commercial finance needs, contact their advisors today. I'm your host, Mona Lisa Como. We covered women headliners so far, and those who and areas that impacted women in the past week. Well, let's continue with another big name, and one we definitely will hear more from in the upcoming year, Carly Fiorina. She's the former Hewlett-Packard CEO who also ran for Senate against Barbara Boxer unsuccessfully in the last race. Now, something about Carly Fiorina that is definitely turning heads is Carly has made it very clear that she's looking at a possible run against Hillary Clinton, but obviously, first off, she's got to throw her name in the hat as a Republican. So she has been known for being socially conservative. But what she made headlines this past week was a couple of things. She was at an Iowa convention and talked about Hillary Clinton, and so I'll get into some of the comments she made there. And then she's also been the interviews that she's had across the gauntlet of media outlets this past week. The headlines themselves are very gut-wrenching, and we also use it as a headline for one of our for the show today. So she's the CEO who was called a token bimbo, and just hearing that just, you know, puts fire in my belly. And what I think most importantly, let me start off with this. Carly Fiorina, if you've heard of her name before, I highly doubt that you've heard of Carly Fiorina's name without negative adjectives surrounded it. And if you think about when she was CEO, she stepped down literally 10 years ago, almost to the day, from Hewlett-Packard. So if you think about the fact that she was a CEO of a technology company in the Bay Area before it was trendy, this is before Facebook, this is before Marissa Mayer at Yahoo, this is before Susan Wojcicki at YouTube. She was doing this before it was cool. Now, being a woman that has grown up in Wall Street, those were not, you know, and any woman who's been in a male-dominated industry, those are not fertile ground for women to grow their careers. And you had to go through, for lack of a better term, a lot of crap to get to the top. And it wasn't cool to talk back or voice your disapproval of the way men were treating you. It wasn't cool to even flinch if somebody made a very inappropriate and sexist comment. So, you know, backtrack to really remember what it was like in 2005, and then backtrack several years from now when Carly was rising through the ranks and how she did so. But the image of Carly, and I'll be the first one to say that, knowing and working with so many Hewlett-Packard employees throughout my life, especially growing up in the Bay Area, that, you know, there wasn't, it's kind of like in Detroit. It's really hard to know somebody in Detroit that doesn't work for one of the big car manufacturers. Well, in the Bay Area, it was really, really hard not to know somebody who didn't work at Hewlett-Packard back in the 90s or in the early 2000s. And then you fast forward to where she is today. No longer is she in the political front, which she tried to make a stint for, and she's no longer in the corporate ranks. But we, as an as a society, we don't give credit to the likes of the Carly Fiorinos. And so I think it's, number one, great that she's come out in so many articles. What I would love to see is that more people giving her credit for laying a foundation of being one of the first female executives in Silicon Valley, and then the story that she has. So, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about the Newsweek article, and that talks about really women raising capital as entrepreneurs in Silicon Valley. This is about Carly's story right now, about being a woman executive in Silicon Valley, and just in a tech company in a very, very male-dominated industry. So I'll take some excerpts from it, and this is, you know, when you hear it, please definitely take a look at the articles on the Business Journal. So a little bit of background. So I'm going to read again from the article. A 20-something Carly Fiorina climbed into the cab, steeling herself for what was next, a business meeting with new clients, but at a strip club. Fiorina spent the morning painstakingly selecting each piece of her outfit. She opted for her most conservative suit with a floppy bow tied at her collar, a fashion tip that she got from, quote, Dress for Success for Women, a must-read book at the time. She carried a briefcase, and under her breath she kept whispering, I am a professional woman. Her confidence quickly deflated, however, when the cab driver pulled up to the gentleman's club, turned around, and asked Carly, are you the new act? Carly stated, my heart just sank, and I thought, oh my gosh, I must look like a fool. She was terrified as she stepped out of the cab and into the doors of the strip club. My stomach is churning, I feel ill, I feel foolish, and here's the worst possible circumstance. It's dark, you don't know where you're going. There's a bar, there's an act, it's just, oh my God. So understand what she did here. And I've been put in these situations, and it drives my husband crazy just to even think about it. But even myself, having gone through the ranks in Wall Street, and not naming anybody or any company, it was just the men who had no respect for women. And there were a lot of them, but I'm not to say that it was every man out there. And these were married men. These were men who were sometimes grandfathers. They were executives who just saw that if a woman was in, quote unquote, their space, it was almost as if a woman walked into a male locker room, and therefore you should be able to take all the crap that's hurled at you, whether it's an ass grab from a boss or a really inappropriate comment about your body parts, or if you're coming to a meeting, or even in some instances, you know, one of the articles talked about it in Silicon Valley gangbang interviews. I mean, the descriptors and the adjectives that were used to talk about, you know, people like people or women kind of growing in up in the ranks in these male-dominated industries, that's the part that's the most hurtful. And then having to come back to that and say how you're going to fight it. Well, Carly, you know, talks a lot about it in her interview, about how she had to figure out how to tackle that. She didn't have a choice, because if she didn't, they had won. And she was called a number of horrible things for that. But this strip club, going back to her incident, that's when she said that she realized that this was the turning point for her. And it was awkward, but one of, and I'm going to read a couple of the quotes that she has here. Fiorina had changed the dynamic of her coworkers by attending this. Because remember, what they were telling her was, we're taking a client. So it was her coworkers that said, we're going to take a new client to the strip club. Because I don't know, for many of you that haven't been in this situation, it's happened to me a number of times where it's a coworker, we're both vying for the same spot, it's male clients, and he says, well, you know, move aside, I'm going to take these guys out. We're either going to go play golf or we're going to go to the strip club and you can't come. Well, Fiorina said, if you're going to take this client out, I need to be there. So that's why she went to this event. And it wasn't because she was trying to hang out with these guys at the strip club. It's because she knew that she needed this deal. That's how determined she was. But she also realized that she was putting herself in a very awkward position. She's at a strip club. It's late. What if a guy comes on to her? What if a guy does something even worse to her? Did she bring it upon herself by walking into that strip club? And that's where that comment was like, oh, my God, what have I done? And I can't tell you how many times many women out there, including myself, have said that just to be able to say that I deserve to be at this table, even if it's in a room of a bunch of men, and I pray to God I'm going to make it out without any scars or me having to hit somebody. And I like what she says about why she went there. She'd earned the respect in a very uncharacteristic way. And yes, the colleague she had been shadowing that day, who basically put her to the test, he was very embarrassed. Good for him. And Carly's quote here is what's very powerful. Women are scrutinized differently. We're caricatured differently. We're characterized differently. And we're challenged differently. And that was purposeful, a challenge to me by my colleague. Do you have the guts to do this? And because it was a challenge, she stated, she had to rise the challenge. Because sometimes women are not given the presumption of competence. Amen, sister. Men are given a presumption of competence, and women are always given that presumption. Sadly, though, the strip club experience was not the only experience and sexist experience that Fiorina faced in her rise to the corporate ranks. One boss introduced her to a client as the token bimbo. Can you believe that? The token bimbo. I mean, it would have driven me crazy had he said that. And in her 2006 memoir, Tough Choices, she recounts dozens of other situations made sticky by sexism. Once while she was working, oh, and this one just really fires me up. Once while she was working with a second-level manager on a promising project, they spent the day visiting customers. Fiorina finally felt that she had a peer who took her seriously. And at the end of the day, her coworker suggested they get a drink. While sitting at the bar, Fiorina states, I suddenly realized that I had been foolish and naive. My colleague wasn't interested in a customer. He was interested in a conquest. Me. Fiorina says she excused herself and went to her room. The colleague called her in her hotel room all night long. And the next day when she stepped into the office where her second-level manager worked, she was met with stares and glares. Eventually, she was told that the colleague of hers that she rejected the previous evening had come into work that morning bragging to everybody in the office about the great sex we'd had the night before. I was horrified and humiliated. Well, what do you do? And Carly Fiorina talks about how there's a series of turning points in her career where, like the one that was at the strip club called the boardroom, ironically, But it was a turning point for her, and it was a moment that I had to decide, am I going to be brave or not? And once you're brave, she stated, you have the confidence to do it again, and it gets easier and easier and easier to do it each time. And so I call this out, and I definitely encourage all of you women out there, if you're struggling and you're in a male-dominated industry, here's a woman who still is taking the shots, where the media continues to describe her as a very aggressive, and you know they use other descriptors that are not so complimentary towards her. Carly is definitely in a huge opportunity, I think, for the party itself, the GOP party, who she wants to be on the ticket for. It's a great opportunity for Carly, I think, to show that she's definitely got the guts, right? She's got the guts. And one of the articles in Fortune that was just written about her yesterday, headliner is Carly Fiorina, the GOP's weapon against Hillary Clinton. Carly is very open, and she was also interviewed on Megyn Kelly's The Kelly File. She's very much sounding like a candidate. She's 60 years old. She hasn't officially announced she's running, but she told Megyn Kelly this past week, it's something that I'm giving very serious consideration to. Well, we're all pretty much believing that she's going to run. Fortune had interviewed Fiorina, and so they kind of knew a lot about her going into this article. And she, let me see if I could jump to the parts, but she was advising John McCain in his 2008 presidential bid, and she was talking about being as a candidate in previous elections before today. But we do know that the GOP is strongly considering her because she's had so much experience on the corporate front. She's been doing nonprofits work in the last few years since she's since she lost the bid against Barbara Boxer, who is also retiring this year. So we'll see where that takes Carly Fiorina. I think we're going to hear a lot more about her, just like we hear a lot about Hillary Clinton. I think we're going to hear a lot about her and her run against in the party. And let's hope that the media, not that they need to be gentle on her, but let's hope they're fair in their coverage of her. In regards to the Power Lunch, we want to be fair in our coverage of Carly Fiorina and say, Carly, thank you for being a groundbreaker. Back before it was cool, to be a woman at the top and being aggressive and saying no to descriptors as token bimbos and challenging the norm of it being okay to take clients to strip clubs, because majority of companies now have policies against that. Carly did it in the wake of all of this, and she, for women like myself, she's actually created a foundation and a path for us to be more successful. So we thank her for breaking down those walls and crashing those ceilings, and we'll be reporting more on her in the future. So we're going to go to break, our last break of the hour. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Newsweek magazine and what Silicon Valley thinks of women and how that dovetails nicely into the challenges that Carly had, but also talk about some of the positive things that are going out there for women raising capital and women entrepreneurs. More when we return.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
Did you know banks decline more commercial loans than they approve? In fact, national banks approve less than 20% of all business loans submitted. And that doesn't include the loans that don't even qualify. But at Inter Pares Capital, we are here to overcome those odds. We are a nationally recognized commercial brokerage firm with access to thousands of public and private lending institutions. That means we have more options to finance you than your bank does, whether you are a startup or in need of debt refinancing or growth capital. We can help. We do the heavy lifting so you can focus on running your business. contact us today for a free consultation with one of our business advisors at 855-365-1930. At Interpares Capital, we are your business partner in finance.
You're connected to the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to the Power Lunch on EWN Radio Network. Your Power Lunch Hour keeping you informed of women in the headlines and making their own news. And now here's your host, Mona Lisa Como.
Welcome back to the Power Lunch, sponsored by Interpares Capital, your business partner for commercial finance and all your real estate needs. I'm your host, Mona Lisa Como. We've got the last several minutes of this hour covering women in the headlines. So Twitter went crazy this past week regarding the February cover of the Newsweek article magazine, and it's called What Silicon Valley Thinks of Women. Well, what really turned everybody's head was the caricature, as Carrie Fiorino had so lovely stated how we're described differently, but the cover shows a woman who's kind of looking behind her, and she's a cartoon character. She's wearing a shorter dress plus red heels, and the mouse arrow is lifting up her skirt. So it's very provocative, and it's very insulting, but, you know, the whole point was to get people to actually take a look at it. And you got a lot of commentary on it. Nina Burle was the author of the article, and she's taken quite a bit of heat for her article, both positive and negative. And so first I'm going to start off with saying there's nothing wrong with talking about the issue. And there are a number of women who have come forth who've talked about the struggles of getting money and being financed. Now, that being said, there are some people who don't do this, and there are a lot of great women run hedge funds, and there are several, and there are a lot of great places for crowdfunding sites that you could also go to raise capital, that you don't have to do private equity. But first and foremost, the pipeline of women who are sitting at the table as financiers, as private equity firms, as hedge funds is small. And so that's another area for we women in finance. We need to continue to challenge that notion of us getting into these areas that are fairly male-dominated, because if we're great at managing money, then we should be great at managing the money to give to other women investors. So that's kind of my shout-out for that. Well, the article, not surprisingly, talks about a number of incidents that Nina had interviewed for women startups, and what kind of tragic, is one word that comes to mind, very insulting, very horrific acts of sexism that happened to these women entrepreneurs as they were trying to raise capital. I read one of the ones that really, really got people's attention. And first off, Silicon Valley is still kind of seen as a frat boy culture. And one of the things that Nina also brings to highlight, and I'll quote her many times in this last segment, is the problem with the dream of Silicon Valley is that so far it's not produced a Gates, Zuckerberg, a Kalanick. There are a few high-profile female entrepreneurs in the Bay Area. One of them is definitively Elizabeth Theranos, the young billionaire who started, Elizabeth Holmes, the founder of Theranos. It's that blood lab company the science that she has done to actually take less blood so that you could still do the same amount of testing. So Theranos, Elizabeth Holmes, has been interviewed quite a bit. She was also included in the Most Powerful Women's Conference that Fortune hosted last year in October. So that tells you that she's one of the high-profile women out there. So she's one of the few female entrepreneurs in the Bay Area. But on the corporate side, despite the very visible success of corporate titans like Meg Whitman, Sheryl Sandberg, and Marissa Mayer, who signed up with companies after they took off, the numbers of entrepreneurial women from the forefront are relatively minuscule. And that's because of the frat boy culture. So the article, if you print it, it's probably about 14 or 15 pages. It talks about a number of the sexism issues that happen for the women that are out there. Well, it also highlights that there's also some peer mentoring platforms for companies that want to retain and promote women. Glassbreakers is one of them. It's a $100 million year opportunity for investors. But there still isn't enough for women startups who actually want to go. And what the article also highlighted is that women are also given less in terms of financing. So if the average investment for a startup is going to be $150,000, for women it's going to be $100,000, right? And some of that, and some of the women who I've interviewed, and this is also on the flip side of it, I've interviewed women who sit across the table, who are actually on the side of the investors, or even just women hedge funds, run hedge funds, or private equity firms, venture capital firms specifically. And one of the things that was common, it was a common thread that was stated, was that a lot of times women entrepreneurs will come in and undersell. And that's a confidence issue, right? So a man will come in and say, take my product, I'm going to give you 10x returns in 2 years, and this is going to be the next Facebook out there, right? And they'll just, frankly speaking, bullshit their way through. But if anything, they're extremely confident. Women tend to play it more safe, and so that might be one of the reasons why the financing is less. Despite all of that, because the article brings up both the challenges of women getting more cash, but it also brings up the sexism. Despite women, even if you have struggles in trying to obtain capital, what is definitively unacceptable are the men who sit across the table. And there's one article, in here that states that a woman went to dinner with her mentor, who said, and she thought he was going to be talking about other financiers and other investors who he could introduce her to, and it was a celebratory dinner. He told her to reach under the table because he wanted to give her something because he was really touched, and she reached underneath the table and he put his hand in her pants. That's disgusting, but it definitely has happened. Another woman talks about going to a dinner with one of the senior VPs, and she thought that they were also celebrating the fact that they had got financing, and instead he told her that he was having a midlife crisis and he fell in love with her. And so I don't condone any of this that's going on, and I think for the men, this should be a challenge to them, and it's kind of like the he for she campaign that Emma Watson was promoting. The men of Silicon Valley should take over this more. So, and if you're a good guy like Zuckerberg, or you're a good guy, you know, one of the great guys like Steve Jobs, you have to speak up against that. And I'm a big proponent in raising my sons that when you see bad happen, you need to talk it through. So it should just as much as it should be uncool for mean girls, it should be uncool for men to know that they have coworkers that are complete dirtbags. Like, why isn't it not cool for another guy to look at each other and say, hey, dude, seriously, that's, like, so inappropriate. What do you, if you want to go get a girl, you know, go to Match.com, but don't bring it here. It makes it ugly for the rest of us. I'd love to see more of that happening. And in the Silicon Valley where you're seeing this and Carly talking about this, it's a challenge to the men out there. You should be the ones. So if you don't want to be viewed, because trust me, the ladies are catching on. We're going to be moving the dial here fairly soon and stronger. And that's not a challenge. It's a fact, all right? Women are going to get to that point. But to go work for powerful women and to work in companies that have the HPs, that have the Meg Whitmans now or the Marissa Mayers, you know, if you I challenge the men of Silicon Valley, you should be the ones making it uncool to have other coworkers be this way. And investors, if you see a guy at the top, listen, it's not sustainable. And I'm a firm believer, and you see this time and time again, whether it's presidents, like unfortunately President Clinton, or movie producers or executives, you name it. The downfall of great men have unfortunately been at their ridiculousness when it comes to how they treat women. And we could go back to Mark Anthony, for God's sakes. I mean, this is something that men, you know this, right? If you're going to be inappropriate at work, if you don't get caught the first time, at some point in your life, you get caught. And it's important to make sure that the men of Silicon Valley are playing a part in making sure that they are focused on great investments for the future, not just because of the you know, being equality, but equality pays. You're going to have stronger women investors or companies, and you're going to be better for yourself and leading a generation. And God forbid you're a father of a daughter, you owe it to yourself. You owe it to yourself to make sure that you've created an environment where your daughter's going to want to be. So that's all I have for the week. Read the article. Would love to hear what you guys have to say about it. The other thing, don't forget to promote the hashtag No Mean Girls campaign. Check it out on plaidforwomen.com. We'll be back next week with more information and more headlines for women making the news. Have a great week, everyone.
WN Radio Network.